everyone. This is Tuesday, October 9th, and this is the stream call for the committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism. And we are starting at approximately 8:58 p.m. New York time. Welcome, everyone, for joining. I guess let's start with a roll call. Okay. I'll take the roll. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Bob Randalla.
Here.
A.C. Bird.
Here.
Lisa Davis, present. Lori Taguma, Evelyn Bethune. Okay, well, we do have quorum. Before we go on, does anybody hear an echo when I talk?
You got an echo.
Yes, we do hear an echo.
Hopefully it won't be that, it won't be too annoying. Okay, well, did people have a chance to look at the agenda? Hello?
Adam. Why don't you read it?
Yeah, I'll just read it for everybody. Well, the first item on the agenda was roll call. We just did that. The item, approval of agenda, 5 minutes. It was on the agenda. Third item is follow-up on recommendations for code of conduct presented to the governance committee. And then the fourth one was review of proposed guidelines for actually investigating allegations of racism and sexism, which is something that I sent out to everyone. I sent out a very rough draft a couple of weeks ago, and then I cleaned it up a little bit. But these are just suggestions and guidelines, you know, and open for everybody's input. Did anybody want to add anything to the agenda?
I'd just like for you to check with John and find, is that who's gotten us today, and see if he can do something about this echo.
John O'Mellor, oh gosh, I bet I don't have his phone number handy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What is the mute code?
There's an echo in the line.
Right, what's the mute code? I'll try muting myself.
I think the mute is star 6.
Let me try it.
No, I just meant to repair that.
You are now muted.
I think it's with the phone system. You know how many times we've had this.
Right. I don't hear it so much now.
Okay.
I think it's something John did. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's when he goes off. Sometimes it goes.
Right. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to the agenda?
No, I don't.
Lisa?
Yes, Bob?
I am on the cell phone. I'm on the road, and my battery is going down and down and down. And so if I cut out there, it's because I've just disappeared. I just want to let you know.
No problem. Well, can I ask you, Bob, maybe you, because you're on the governance committee, right?
I'm sorry?
You're on the governance committee, correct?
Yes.
Because I was just wondering, I know we submitted some recommendations to the governance committee to include a code of conduct.
Right, right.
I was just wondering if you wanted to just give us a little update on how that's coming along.
Well, you know, the code of conduct committee, I sent a note today, and I said Grace Aaron is chairing that working group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her if we can meet on the 12th. This Friday. I looked at all the meetings that are going on, and there's a whole bunch of them. Every day is busy.
Oh,
and Friday is the only time that is open, and I haven't heard from her yet. But if we can, we want to finish that code of conduct document.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our wish. And so that we can bring it before the governance committee so they can look at it and bless it, whatever, and then we can take it to the full board. So, you know, it's been taking a long time because we had a whole bunch of different kind of codes of conduct, different stations,
mm-hmm.
and we are using as a jumping point the KPFT Houston code of conduct and working on that and adding some language to it and keeping the good ones elements in that code and adding some more. And the people bring their own ideas. So we're working on it, and hopefully if we can meet this Friday, we might do something about it, might have some accomplished. So I don't know. I haven't heard from it yet, and I'm still on the road. And so I know that racism, sexism committee, we had some elements that we want to be incorporated into the code of conduct.
Right.
And has not reached that code of conduct meeting yet. After it reaches there, then we'll see how they deal with it and what they think of it and what we can incorporate and what we can't, and then we proceed on that basis.
Oh, okay.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. And before we get in, because like I said, we have a skeleton draft of how this committee would proceed. I'll use the word should, because hopefully we won't be getting many complaints submitted to us or any complaints. That would be ideal. But we can, before we get into going over the draft that I have that has been submitted. Does anybody? I know the last meeting we had talked about looking into various modalities or various different kinds of training models. I would just want to know if anybody had any report about that.
Yeah, Lisa?
Yes?
Ms. Starr? I know that last time we talked about that, we most of us agreed at that time that a very, very important element of this committee should be to the training part for the whole board, and especially when in January, the new half of the board members are going to be new.
Mm-hmm.
That training should be extensive. And if the meeting is in New York, if something could be, cooked up there so that, it's a really important issue, and you guys have a good training group there, I think, and if something could be arranged there, that'd be great. And that can prevent, all these problems from occurring. I think training and raising people's consciousness, I think that should be number one on the agenda, educating people about these problems and developing some sensitivity around this subject. All I have to say. And my telephone is running down here and battery, and I might have to leave.
Oh, okay.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia.
Well, Lisa had asked our HR director consultant, and we had also received an email response from her regarding the online service that I had kind of raved about. We're using it for sexual harassment training at KPFK, and it's very good because you have to constantly, because they quiz you and everything. So you can't just go through the motions or walk out of the room for a long time like you do with the in-person trainings or get them all together. It would log that each one of us have got to complete the thing. And the sexual harassment training was really good. As much as I thought I knew, it really gives you actual examples, like if you are talking to so-and-so, how would you respond? And some of the times I surprise myself that I gave, the wrong answer. Because sometimes, both ways, it's like I overdid it or underdid it or whatever. And so it was extremely valuable. I was extremely impressed, which doesn't mean we shouldn't do the in-person thing, but I really think that that we should explore the online. Now, I spoke to the woman from the service, and so she is going to send me tomorrow their extended catalog, which is not readily available on their website until they send it to you. And that does have one that actually had diversity appreciation or something like that. And then they have about three or four others that are similar, having to do more with discrimination and so forth. So she said, we could all explore it as a committee. So I'll be sending the links to everyone on the committee. and we can actually take the sample test or the sample course online and see if it meets our needs. And what it also does is, which is what we did with the sexual harassment, is that our director of human resources customized it. It'll tell you which areas you can customize. You can't customize everything, but certain areas are in blue or something like that. And those are the ones where we can insert Pacifica's policies with relation to racism and sexism or whatever. And so, anyway, it's definitely worth exploring. And I don't know what the cost would be because I have a call in, I have an email into Eva because she contracted it. Dominga seems to remember like $15 a person or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that would still be extremely reasonable for, you know, for a board. Quite frankly, I think if everybody went through, in Pacifica, went through the same training, we'd at least be at least coming from a similar perspective of having had the same, you know, training exposure. But anyway, to start off with the board would be really good. So I will continue. We should continue pursuing that, and I'll be sending out the information as soon as I get it.
Oh, thank you. And the part, and like the sexism and the racism, that sounds like that it would be something really good. Did I hear somebody else about to say something?
Lisa Desar?
Yes.
You know, I tried to look at the California Attorney General's website.
Mm-hmm.
He had a online training course on ethics in government.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe he would have some kind of a training course in racism and sexism, but they didn't have that. They have just on ethics. So so that didn't pan out.
Well,
so I hope the Lydia, the course that she's following through, maybe that'd be of greater value. You know, I after that, I didn't look anywhere else.
So. Well, Sarv, if I may, when I first went to this site,
yeah,
it also just had, you know, management training and ethics and blah, blah, blah. It only listed about half a dozen things. So I called the number on the site. And then that person told me, oh, no, they have, like, a really extensive catalog, but they have to send you the link specifically to the courses that you take. So the Attorney General, it's hard for me to imagine that California wouldn't have it. We have one of the strongest, you know, both diversity and gender laws and all of that. So you might try calling as well.
Yeah,
only because it might be more cost effective and it might be just as good, but then at least we have something to compare it to. But this group I happen to know is just, astoundingly good.
Right.
So. Okay.
Well, I'll try to also ask our human resource people there, with the place where I work for State of California. So I'll try to pursue some further.
And I'll just throw this little something into the mix. It's not really training, but there was something else in the link around that I saw that some people had devised for it, a way of measuring implicit bias, because oftentimes they found when you talk to people, they'll say, no, I don't have feelings like that. I don't feel this way. But there was ways of measuring implicit bias. And this is just something that doesn't cost anything, so I'll just send it out to the group anyway, because I took the test. It was interesting in terms of, you know, ways that they were able to measure what people subconsciously sometimes think. Okay. Does anybody have anything else they would like to add to this? Or
no, I just wanted to say that I think these training sessions could be, a mixture of both online and in person. Because I know there's a lot to say about how a training session can take place in person, and a lot could be derived from that as well as I don't know too much about online, but at least based on what Lydia said, it seems to be pretty good. But I think there ought to be a combination. I don't think we should opt for just one process.
No, definitely, I'm in complete agreement. I don't think there's any disagreement with that. that we examine both avenues, and there should be ideally a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What do you think, Sal or Lydia?
Well, I agree. I think that there is something about in-person training that that can be substituted by online interactive kind of, you know, thing. It's and also in the process, you know, the board of directors can really get to know each other too, and begin
right.
to develop some trust and confidence and interaction among people. And I think that no substitute for in-person training. I agree, but I think that it doesn't hurt to put it on our each radio station website. Some training course that just everybody can go there. Anybody working at the station, then, you know, as a matter of fact, it might be even a good idea to even make like a mandatory that every managerial kind of people there, they should go there and at least go through that, you know?
Yes, I agree.
Because it's an important issue, so. It doesn't hurt, you know, both
yeah.
ways.
Okay.
No, it certainly does not hurt. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, I have to leave. My battery is down here, and I'm on my way.
We want you to charge it up, sir, so don't run your battery down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, sir.
Okay, so are we ready to move? Are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Okay, well, I have sent around rough draft proposal that I, you know, anticipate we will be spending some time on this in terms of how actual investigations of should be conducted. And we know that that was one of the things that, you know, that a lot of people submitted, you know, some very, very good questions about how this should be done. So what I'm going to propose that we do, that we just kind of go over it, read over it. Certainly, we would not pass anything by this committee, not tonight, any suggestions, especially we want as many people on the call for this when we do, but we can at least go over it and then review it more carefully once we're off this call and, you know, bring back ideas and input and feedback. And then, of course, you know, at some point have council look at it and then present it to the full committee, you know, for their approval. So we can just start right now. And AC, do you have it pulled up online?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Do you have the attachment that I sent? Were you able to get online?
I don't. I haven't. I just walked in the house and grabbed
okay.
the phone, so I don't
okay.
know.
No problem. Then I'll just begin reading over it. The first thing is that there shall be a local subcommittee of the PNB committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism established in each of the five station areas comprised of five members, two of whom shall be elected by the committee of inclusion, one director from the committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism, and two members of the local station board whom shall be elected by the local station board, and only one director can serve on the committee. And the elections for the local committee shall be done by STV. And in the event that the complaint is brought against a director who is a member of the national committee, then another director from the Sentinel area should be elected by the PNB as a substitute for the director who is being accused while the case is under investigation. Any thoughts that you want me to just read through or...
Well, yeah, because this exceeds the mandate. So these have to be different documents. In other words, there was already a committee and a formulation of that committee established by the PMB.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to bring a new motion, that should not be under the workings of this committee per se. I mean, it can't come out of this committee, a motion to bring in the Committee of Inclusion.
Well, as people to be... Okay, I'll let you talk.
Okay, so first of all, what I had thought we were going to do was focus on what we've been tasked to do. What we've
mm-hmm.
been tasked to do was not to to reconstitute the committee. We can as a separate document, but your first paragraph should not be part of what I thought the document was going to be. So do you see what I'm saying? That's like a separate motion. The PMB already constituted the committee.
Right.
So if you want to bring forward a new motion, it should just be that first paragraph, and that's separate from how we are currently tasked to do, which is everything from the second paragraph forward.
Right. Well, let me, because I just want to clear, and this is why, you know, to just write down everything and to try to think this thing through. Because if somebody has, let's say somebody at one of the local stations, they bring forward, okay, there's been this complaint going on, and in terms of how the complaint would be able to be investigated. And so it seems like that there would need to be, like, because it would be problematic for us to go to the various stations to investigate, and it seems like that the investigation should be done by some committee of the local station board within the signal area.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's what I mean in that way. So I mean, this, like I said, this is just rough draft, and everybody, please feel free to just bring everything in and, you know, and just think this thing through. But that's the reason for having it like this. And I know one of the thinking, you know, to make it even more balanced is, you know, whether or not people would be pulled from the local station board or to maybe, you know, pull some people from the committees of inclusion and the local station board that would be part of the ones that would be investigating. But definitely to have a director from the national committee to be a part of that. But anyway, so we can go forward. But I will still, is anybody, I'm taking notes, so I'm going to try to take rough draft notes as well, but if anybody else has notes that they can help to take with this, that would be helpful as well.
Well, I'd like to, you know, look at that and study that very hard, because you know, if there is a conflict someplace addressing the issue of racism and sexism, it's going to be a very explosive situation wherever it occurs. And we would need, perhaps, one of the things we might want to do is to make sure that we have the counselor, the legal counsel, as well as the human resource person, to join in whatever investigation that we might want to conduct. And involving the local community is, I don't want to avoid that, but at the same time, I want to be very careful with that.
Right.
We are responsible, legally we are responsible, as we, you know, I'm not sure whether that a loose sort of use of LSB members, and I'm not suggesting that you're suggesting it was loose, we have to be very careful, I think, on who's on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
And because if it involves anybody in Pacifica, LSB or not, it's going to end up involving people who may be indirectly involved in the incident. I don't know. You know, it could be, it might not. But we just need to, all I'm suggesting is that we should think it through. That's all.
Oh, definitely.
Very carefully. Very, very carefully. And, as we're dealing with two very explosive issues, you know.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, this is just the very, very first rough, bare bones, just try to get us, you know, thinking along a certain
moving,
way.
Yeah.
Right. But so let me just go to the next one. So I just
And I have one more comment, is that
okay.
I think you're going to have a serious challenge getting this approved on the board. They barely approved the national committee and so... I don't know whether we should first concentrate on how the National Committee would function. I know that what you're saying is the way the National Committee would function would be through its local subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's way extending the purview of this committee until we establish how we as directors would function.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's premature myself.
Okay. No problem. Well, like I said, let me just finish going through it, and then we can, I mean, I don't say finish going through it, but let's just get into all these thoughts and these questions, because this is all very, very good in terms of how we will operate. Because what I did was, and I took Robert's Rules of Order, and I was just thinking in terms of, okay, somebody submits a complaint, and just try to go through all of the steps as prescribed by Robert's Rules of Order, somewhat, you know. So, but this is good to at least get started talking about it, and we can, you know, bring suggestions and everything in terms of how this should work. And then, okay, the next part, and like I said, I anticipate that this will, you know, be challenging. But the next paragraph goes on to say that the subcommittees will be established for the purpose of investigating allegations of racism and sexism by local station board members. Elected members shall sign confidentiality agreements, and all complaints and or investigations shall be confidential unless confidentiality is waived by the accused. If the accused wishes to waive his or her confidentiality, a waiver indicating that he or she wishes to do so shall be signed. In the case that a person alleges that he has been subjected to racism and or sexism by a board member, a complaint should be made in writing and brought before the subcommittee for its review, and a copy should be sent to the National Committee, meaning the National Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. When it is a director making an accusation against another director, then the investigation shall be conducted by the National Committee unless the director making the accusation is from the same signal area. Anyone being accused of improper actions in a complaint, well, I had a question marked by this myself in terms of if somebody is actually being accused of an improper action. I mean, I know ultimately the person would have to be notified that there was this accusation, but I guess when the notification should happen. So I'll just pause with this, and then people can bring up their suggestions or their, you know, their thoughts on this part.
Well, perhaps we need to read it and review it and then try and deal with it at our next meeting. We would have had a chance to evaluate that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
Lydia.
Lydia brought up
points about, you know, the politics of getting it even through the board, given the fact that we had such a difficult time with this committee as well as the COI and all of that. We may be jumping a little bit fast. I don't know. No, maybe we need to examine it.
Okay. Lydia, you had something that you were going to say?
Well, and, you know, I had envisioned if the LSB had issues, right, that we would have already have put in place how you contact our committee, which you could do by just copying the board, actually, and asking our committee to investigate it, which are the directors, right, which have more authority than the local station boards, for one thing. But I have a problem with just because the accused waives his or her confidentiality, that does not release us from as a committee or anybody investigating from a commitment to confidentiality. They may be actually anxious to make something public which would embarrass other directors. And so that isn't sufficient. I really believe that, of course, our attorney would have to take a look at this, but I would object to that. It is not sufficient to just have one person say, oh, I waive confidentiality, therefore, you know, I can make any kind of counter-allegation or whatever. Because most of these things are not about just one person accusing, because the defense is going to be accusatory as well. So therefore, the person making the initial allegation also becomes the person who it will be accused of, you know, counter things, at least in the instances that we have seen arise. So what I think it should be is a process for people to bring us these charges, right, and then a process of how we go about evaluating them. You've addressed some of the issues. Obviously, there might be instances of needing to recuse yourself if you're the director mm-hmm. or if you're somehow involved in the issue, which you may or may not be, and and proceed from there, therefore giving both EMB members and LSB members a mechanism, explicitly step 1 through 10, of how the process will go. So I think we should focus on that rather than on setting up anything elaborate with the LSBs. There are a lot of reasons for not having the LSBs have their own investigating committees. They are already very highly charged, and the whole purpose, in my opinion, of having a national committee do it with directors from different stations is because they tend to be more objective and less immersed in the internal local battles.
All right, well then, my question that I would ask to that, and I'm certainly not, you know, opposed to that, would be, because people asking these questions are very, very, you know, very mechanical, very technical ones, which, you know, are legitimate questions. How would that happen? I mean, that's what I just want us to, I'm trying to just get us to think about, how would it happen? If somebody comes to us and says, this thing happened, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, locally, mm-hmm. how would the investigation proceed? You know, I know we have ideas, and I'm trying to get us to think step by step.
Right, step by step would be, okay, so I'm a local state. If you want to take a local station board mm-hmm. example versus a national board example, the local station board example will be, okay, I am seriously offended by a pattern. In particular, because I think that has to be the first decision once we get it. Let's just say they're offended by an instance, right, of offensive language and or behavior toward another person that someone has alleged. So then the person who feels injured will communicate to the PMB or to the committee, right? Either way, it gets to us because you're on the PMB. And then the directors say, okay, we will, read your complaint. And then the directors decide one of two things. One, you have to start looking at things. Is this a pattern? And so we would probably have a series of questions that we would ask, let's say, help develop with our counsel, right? What are the questions we first need to determine? Was this done in a, was there an angry exchange? It doesn't make it right or wrong, but, you know, was this a one-time thing? Did this person exhibit a pattern of this sort of thing? Because it may be a matter of just talking to the person and then they issue an apology and they're more conscious from that point on. On the other hand, it may be a profound rant or, you know, a number of things. So all of that would need to be determined first. So there could be first be probably a set of questions of the person lodging the complaint before you could go to the person who committed the alleged offense. And the full committee would then have to decide how to proceed. And some of the questions we have to develop is then, do the directors from that signal area, are they directly involved? Can they be objective? And you would probably have to have the parties involved also answer whether they would be open to having those directors look into the allegations. If they say no, they're too partisan, then I think you have to respect that and only have the directors who are not from that station look into the allegations. Then you would request an account from each side, notify the other side what has been said, what has been purported to have happened. And then you go from there. And if necessary, you bring in HR or you bring in counsel or you bring in a mediator or you bring in, you know, whatever it is that needs to be brought in. But we would have a list of what are the options that we do at this at each step. You have to have a series of situations and options. So I think that's where we should develop next.
So you were just saying establish line of questions. Somebody comes with a complaint, establish line of questions to first ask. I mean, the individual to try to ascertain what happened.
Right, and then you contact the other person and you ascertain what happened. And then you go back to them and you say, Do you believe that the two directors from, you know, that the four directors from your signal area, do you have an objection to any of these four directors participating in this investigation? Or, oh no, I guess it would have to be the directors on our committee initiate, you know, conducting this investigation. They will either say yes or no. So that forms, then that determines whether you do, you know, an in-house kind of, you know, investigation, shall we say, or if it's going to be done by the rest of the members of the committee. And you know, you have statements from both, and then you start, you know, looking into it. And then we have a series of questions. Again, the pattern questions, for example, witness questions, or, you know, did anybody witness this? You know, so on and so forth. So then you start exploring. But we should have it laid out ahead of time so that it's not like we're just winging it each time, but rather that we have a set of options for each response.
Well, exactly. But I guess that I'm hearing what you're saying in terms of, you know, procedurally. AC, do you have anything to add to this, or?
Well, no, I think that, as I said, I'd like to
review
this matter and very closely and try and think it through and so forth. So I really wouldn't want to add anything more to what's already been said, I think.
Okay, good, because the one thing I will say...
I think we should move the agenda, though, and because we really do need to read this.
Go on, finish.
No, 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 I was just saying I think we really do need to move the agenda, though.
Well, this is it, and I do understand that people want to read it, but I just want to say that even with that, and my reasoning for establishing a committee locally, and I'm not saying that, you know, the initial steps that you just recommended, Lydia, I'm not saying that that should not be, but at some point with something, and I'm thinking about it, if an investigation to go forward, and that locally, that there are people there who can talk with people face to face, ideally, who might, I mean, sometimes something can get a little bit involved, who might, you know, need, you know, to talk to other witnesses, and then for actually conducting it, you know.
Lisa, we would have to.
I'm
just saying, I just want to say this. Do we have no provisions in what established us to deal with a local committee? That was never a part of what we were. You would almost have to go back to the board and get permission, if need be, to set up such a relationship. I mean, the COI has that, but we don't.
Right.
We don't have any mechanism for working, because I think something like the board wanted us to deal with it from our perspectives and report to the board. I'm not so sure what that would entail if you involved a committee on a local level.
Right. So one of the things,
and it really needs to be reviewed, and need to come back to it and see what we can do with it. You know, whether we want to make a recommendation that goes forward, or whether we don't think it's viable, or whatever we need to do.
Right. Well, exactly. But one of the things, and these are questions that other board members were asking.
Mm-hmm.
If those come, I mean, and I'm talking about once, I'm thinking about in terms of once an allegation has come forward and there needs to be an investigation. So I'm not talking about all of the committee. I don't mean to defend this for how all of the committee should function, but in terms of if an allegation is brought forward and there has to be an investigation into it. And let's say that something like a trial has to happen. So under those kind of guidelines, how would that be set up?
Well, we're speculating on what might be, or what could be, or what should be, and I don't think we're prepared for that. That's my point.
That's what we have to. I'm just trying to move us along those lines in terms of that kind of preparedness, if something like that happens.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
That's absolutely not in our purview, as far as I'm concerned. We are not in charge. We are in charge of only investigating the charges, and we can make a recommendation, but it is parliamentarily up to the body, whatever body you're talking about, whether it's the LSB or the PNB. We would not be conducting any kind of a trial or anything. it would, you know, it's up to the LSB. So that what I envision is that we would investigate the merits and demerits of the issue. Again, to me, very compelling is whether this is a pattern or an isolated incident. And we might say, this is such a profound, because you could hypothetically say, let's say at one particular LSB you had a totally, you know, an entire LSB, which is, does not exist in Pacifica at this point. But if you ended up with a total LSB that was very resistant to anything having to do with racial diversity or whatever, right? But we would say either the LSB or people in the LSB or whatever have exhibited a pattern of racism that needs to be addressed. Whether we could say, and then we could list their options. The options are, right, disciplinary measures, intermediate disciplinary measures, which have not been developed by governance, and or expulsion, which is the only thing that the bylaws provides right now. And in that case, then you need to follow Robert's rules of order in relation to a trial that needs to take place. You know, but we would send a report with our findings, but we cannot do the trial. That's not our...
But this is what we need to have clear in terms of procedurally. I think that because people have, you know, they've been asking a lot of questions in terms of how things should be done and things like that. We need to have procedures in place where if something happens and people, because we know that there have been cases of behavior not saying anything or whatever like that, which has really been kind of a little hair-raising sometimes. There needs to be procedures in place. You have to think about from beginning to end. At least this is one of the things that I tried to do with this. If somebody comes, you know, what would be the procedures that would be in place, you know, to review how this should happen? And I think we have to think very, very meticulously about each step. Now, whether or not it is this committee at some point that would handle this or how it would be handled by somebody else, I think we need to have those kind of procedural things at least in place. For if somebody comes to see, well, we'll try it this way, then boom, that doesn't work, then this way, then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I think we need to think about it step by step by step.
I agree, but absolutely not within what has been laid out in the document. I mean, a trial is absolutely not within our purview. Just like, you know, AC brought out, and either are setting up LSB subcommittees. I mean, that's not really within, I mean, even that is conceivable, but not a trial. That's not what we've been charged.
We would charge with investigating, but we should at least be willing to answer if something comes to that, if they talk about it, what would be the practice in place for that?
You know, I say no.
How this would be, I think that we have to look at that. I mean, we can decide whether we just refer it back to the LSC or whatever, but this should
no,
be.
Because that's trials, whether it's for racism or anything else, it would come under the governance committee, but number two, that's a Robert's Rules thing, and it has nothing to do with us. I mean, that's, you know, we could recommend and say the many things that you can do are disciplinary actions, including but not limited to expulsion. And that's all that we could do.
Well, I think what we have to happen, I mean, like I said, this is a guide. I based it on Robert's Rules. It does not, you know, people can read it, but I will ask people to please look at it because I didn't change it that much from when I sent it. I know everybody's been very busy, but when I sent it out, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But I'm just saying we need to, regardless of what that is, if it's decided that we say, well, here are the remedies that you have for if you're doing this, you training or whatever like that, or expulsion, and then you know, if you do that, then you have to go to Robert's Rules for the trial. I'm just saying we have to have it definitely very, very much meticulously in place. We have to think in terms of somebody comes to us, you know, detailed. We don't want to leave something, you know, kind of like open or just be winging it. So that's what I'm saying. So we have to formulate how we want, how this should proceed, whether or not, you know, even if it is that we say, well, you know, if you guys choose to expel or suspend or whatever, then you have to follow Robert's rules and the LSB handles that. I mean, even if it's something like that, but we should at least have all those questions, you know, in our minds when we're going through this.
It seems to me though, Lisa, we're now having a long discussion about your proposal, but we haven't read it and we have no framework for looking at it. So I would suggest that we table this discussion and move on to the agenda, and then perhaps in one of our meetings after we've had a chance to review everything. Because I don't think, I agree with Lydia in part, because I don't think we have the mandate to deal with this. But at any rate, regardless of what I believe, I just think we need to move on to another. What else do we have on the agenda?
This is what we have. This is it. I mean, we can, you know, people can read it, but I, you know, this is just a guide, but, you know, just, you know, look at it. But we have to have something in place, step by step, whatever that process is going to be in terms of what we are going to do and how it will be handled. I do think that the local committee, I mean, the LSB with charges or with investigations or whatever, at some point needs to be involved in some cases, that I do believe. But we need to just look at it and go over. And this, for the most part, I got from the guidelines of, you know, Robert's rules in terms of how and if something happens and stuff like that. So we need to really to look at that. But I will just say, everybody, please, I know everybody is busy, but please do look, because this was, you know, several weeks ago it was sent out, and nothing of it was changed that much since today. So because we have to really form in terms of how we will operate, you know, and we, you know, it should not be something that we're kind of winging or guessing at. We need to just think very, very, you know, we have to have something very, very defined to how we should operate. And, you know, if they come to us with, hey, that this has happened, how will we conduct these investigations?
Yeah.
Anyway, don't have anything else you say on the agenda?
No, nothing else.
Okay, so we will study this and we'll come up with maybe counter proposals.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
okay.
One thing that I do want to say to us is that we have not discussed the question of mediation. I don't know if we would be, if that's in our purview or not, but we certainly might want to consider that as an option, even in the process of the investigation, if something comes up.
That's what I had said.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, as well. It's just that first we investigate and then we say, okay, well, would this situation benefit from mediation? Would this situation benefit from, you know, blah, blah, blah? So we would list what are all of the range of options. It comes everything from mediation by whom? If it's something, you know, seemingly not that serious, maybe the directors can mediate. We need a professional, then a professional can mediate. If we think it raises to the level of some kind of legality issue, our counsel could intervene. And then if it's an issue of governance and we think that expulsion or some intermediate thing is warranted, you know, then that can be a possibility. The problem is, as happened in New York, is that our bylaws do not make a provision for anything intermediary, even though Robert's Rules does, seemingly. So that's why those issues become governance. But we can certainly explore, absolutely, I would say, start out with early on with some form of mediation. And absolutely.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, so I move to adjourn.
Okay, no problem. But like I said, just step-by-step process, no matter. And even if it comes to the thing where we say, well, you know what, somebody else should handle this aspect of it. But I think we should just think step-by-step process in terms of how this would happen.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'll say goodnight to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.